All right, Psalm 75. We've been looking at this psalm, and we have seen that it is the saints who give thanks to the Lord for his wondrous works, verse 1. And you'll recall that specifically, the wondrous works here are God's judgments against wicked people. And we were right in the middle of verses 2 through 5, specifically verses 4 and 5. And that's what I want to read tonight, as I want to kind of close up what I want to do here with those two verses when God warns mankind. Verse 4. I said to the boastful, do not boast. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. And of course, we saw that God is giving a warning to the wicked specifically concerning their pride. And pride is an ever-present sin and propensity that all mankind, both lost and saved, have to deal with in their lives. It's probably one of the sins that is least talked about or least understood. A lot of times I'll talk to people and I'll say, have you ever thought about pride? Do you think that you're prideful? And almost all the time they tell me no. And the reason for that is because of the lack of preaching on it and the lack of understanding where pride shows up in our lives. And it is having a tendency to be almost everywhere and infiltrated with our own self. Probably one of the greatest expressions, this would be my judgment, not the Lord's, but one of the greatest expressions of a prideful America is the proliferation of selfies. Now, selfies, in and of itself, it's not a sin to take your picture. Okay? But the number of selfies, the proliferation of selfies, is indicative of a nation that's very proud of who? Themselves. And so, this can even infiltrate the church. We talked about verses 4 and 5. God proclaims to mankind, do not boast. Do not brag. God proclaims to the wicked, verse 4, do not lift up the horn on high. He says it again in verse 5, do not lift up your horn on high. And of course, horn is referring to what? It can refer to authority, to governments. And of course, Daniel comes to mind on this, where you have the beast and the horns that come up, speaking of various governments and kings and rulers. But here he's just telling the wicked in general, do not lift up your horn on high and do not speak with insolent pride. And I have a little line between verse 4, do not boast, that deals with our speech, to the second part of verse 5, do not speak with insolent pride, and then of course, the second half of verse 4 and the first half of verse 5 go together. Now, pride or stubbornness and expressions of being braggadocious is everywhere. Where did that come from? And the answer to that question is that pride came from the evil one. And so I want us to turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, and I just want to point out certain things here for our further meditation. Ezekiel 28, and you'll notice at the beginning of this chapter, the word of the Lord comes concerning the subject of the ruler of Tyre. And I'm not going to read everything here, but you'll notice the pride of this man in Ezekiel 28 and verse 2. Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because your heart is what? Proud or lifted up. You have said, I am a God. You have said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the seas. And yet I want you to note here in verse 2 that whoever this man is, the leader of Tyre, God says, you are a man. And not who? Not God. Can a human being get to the place where he, for all practical purposes in his heart, believes that he sits with authority and power like he's a God? Well, the answer to that is yes. And of course, here this man is doing that. You'll notice in verse 3, this man claimed to be wiser than Daniel. He claimed to understand secrets. By his wisdom and understanding, verse 4, he acquired riches for himself and acquired gold and silver for your treasuries. Look at verse 5. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches and your heart is lifted up. Why? Because of your riches. And God says, therefore, thus saith the Lord to this man. Would you say this man is prideful? This man is prideful, and this pride was there, but it developed and came into full bloom because of his industry when it came to business. It says, your heart is lifted up because of your riches, and by your great wisdom, by your trade, you acquire riches for yourself, by your wisdom and by your understanding. Now, in this same chapter, not only do we have God speaking to the ruler of Tyre, but go down to verse 11, you'll see Ezekiel again. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Now, you'll notice here in chapter 28 and verse 2, he says the leader or the ruler of Tyre. But here he's talking about the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God. Now there's a difference about this individual. You'll notice in verse 13, where was this individual? He was in Eden, the garden of God. And you're going to find out, look at verse 14, who is this individual? You were the anointed cherub that covers. Who is this individual that is the king, that is over the ruler, the man of Tyre? This is Lucifer. This is the anointed cherub that covers. In other words, he was one of those cherub. You'll remember that over the mercy seat, there were six wings and two covered were over that seat and covered that seat. And here he was. He was one of the highest ranked angels, if not the highest ranked angel that God created. And he had a covering. And you'll notice in verse 13, every precious stone was your covering. So what was his garment, as it were? It was precious stones. Now I want you to think about this. If you've got an object or an individual that is clothed or whose actual flesh may have been precious stones, and you are the anointed cherub right there, the ones that cry, holy, 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 you are right there near God, what is happening to those jewels? Well, God is light, is he not? And folks, if you go into a jewelry store, why do you think they have bright lights in there? They want to make those diamonds sparkle, don't they? They want to make those stones look very beautiful. What would happen to Lucifer's garment as the light of the glory of God radiated off of it? It would be sparkling bright. Do you agree with that? Okay. Now, you'll notice here that it was God who created him. You'll notice in verse, the end of verse 13, that the gold and the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you on the day that you were created. So he was a created being. They were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I, that is God, placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15, you were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created. So he was not created sinfully, was he? And he was not created to sin. But note verse 15. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity or sin, or the New American Standard, until unrighteousness was. Everybody see that verb? Okay, people want to know sometimes, where was sin originated? The Bible does not ask how sin was created, but it does tell you where it was found. Where was it first found? In the spirit of Lucifer. Everybody see that? Okay. Now, how did that unrighteousness, how was that found? How was it produced? No, verse 16. By the abundance of your trade. Now, did the ruler of Tyre trade? By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now, note verse 17. Your heart, and what's the next few words? Okay, what does God tell wicked people? What does God tell mankind? Do not lift up your horn on high. Your heart was lifted up. All right, now we're seeing how this was found. What happened in the heart of Lucifer? His heart was lifted up when he saw his what? His beauty. Now, where did that beauty come from? From the Lord. It was the Lord's beauty radiating off of him, was it not? But he, as it were, took a selfie. And he looked at his selfie and said, I am the most beautiful creature that God ever created. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom. Did he have wisdom? He did. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. So his wisdom began to be corrupted because of his thoughts about his own beauty. We could word it this way. His wisdom began to be corrupted when he thought good of himself. Everybody see that? This is not an innocent thing. You start thinking highly of yourself, your wisdom will begin to become corrupted, whatever that is. Your heart was lifted up. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profane your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you, and it will consume you. The fire was from where? The midst of him. Folks, what began to burn negatively, in a destructive way, inside that angel? Folks, all of that was because of his pride. His pride. And folks, you've seen people this way. You've seen children grow up and they become prideful. And you look and compare pictures. You'll see a picture maybe when they're 18. You'll look at a picture again when they're 25 and you look at their faces and it's different. Mm-hmm. It's because of pride. Now, that pride puts us in a position to lift ourselves up. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 14. These are the only two passages that directly speak about the fall of that angelic being that we call the devil, Satan, the adversary of God. In Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in verse 12, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart," verse 13, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Now, what's common in all five of those statements? Folks, is the subject God? No. The subject is who? It's Satan's himself. He says, "I will." He didn't say, "I will, Lord willing." He said what? Let's say it. "I will." Have you ever made best laid plans and they all begin with, "I will"? And it didn't happen. You ought to thank God for that. Folks, Satan lifted up his heart. Satan was involved, and we don't know the details of this, but he was involved in business, trade. He was the most wise of all the angels. And you'll recall in Genesis, talking about the serpent, it says it was more subtle than any other beast of the field. More wise than any other beast of the field. This angel became ambitious. Now folks, as I'm going through these things, you ought to be saying to yourself, well, that sounds like the world. Is the world ambitious? Does the world claim to be wise above all, even God in the Scripture? Does the world, is it involved in business and making money and exalting itself? The answer to that is what? Yes. Satan wanted to be the highest authority. And because of that pride, he became violent. He's called in the Scripture the destroying angel. Do you hear that? Folks, when people become proud, it starts off so gradually, but eventually they will push and shove and do whatever it takes to get what they want. It doesn't matter who they step on. It doesn't matter whose feelings are hurt. It doesn't matter any of this. What only matters is who? Himself. Me. And I've often said to myself, and this is just me talking to myself. Have you ever talked to yourself? If you don't talk to yourself, you need to learn to do so. I've gotten mad at a car because it's going so slow. And when I'm in a right frame of mind, something like this enters into my mind. Why do you think your business is more important than theirs? Right? If I get mad at somebody getting in my way to do what I want to do, who am I thinking about? Tell me. I'm thinking about Pastor Jones is who I'm thinking about. And folks, that's what I'm saying. Pride generates violence. Or we could word it this way, anger. Do you think Satan is an angry being?
Yes.
And folks, it is these things. Do you notice that in what I told you, lifting up oneself, ambitious, stubbornness, business, trade, authority, get ahead, violence. Did you notice what I didn't say? Sacrificial love. Did you hear that? This is the exact opposite of sacrificial love. And if anybody had a right to get angry and violent and mad, it would have been the Lord Jesus. Am I right or wrong? But He loved and left vengeance to God. And folks, this is why the prophet Jeremiah, we won't turn there, I'll read it to you, listen carefully. This is why the prophet Jeremiah said, "Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his strength, and let not a rich man boast of his riches." Did you hear what he says? "But let him who boasts," all right, you want to boast? Boast about this, "that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises," now listen what he says, "loving kindness, justice and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord." Folks, what should a church be boasting about? Him. Him. Not how right we are, how right He is. Not how I get my way, but that His way is given. Right? That justice might be given. That I'm not like the world who does boast in wealth and does boast in their own intellect, education, wisdom, knowledge. Folks, it is real easy for us to cover over our pride with religious terminology. Now, I want us to turn to our New Testament. Because I asked you last week, is there a place in our New Testament where even saved people struggle with this sin? Did you figure out which one it is? You should have. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want you to turn to chapter 4. There's just tons of places, but I'm going to pull out 6 places here real quick. Look at verse 6. Chapter 4. "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sake, so that in us you may learn." Did the church need to learn? "That you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other." Now, if you have a King James, I love the King James. You remember the King James? It doesn't translate it arrogant. What does it say? Puffed up. You remember that? Puffed up. You're windy. You're a windbag. right? You're puffed up. Folks, we have to learn, the Scripture says certain things about us, both positive and negative, and to exceed what is written is arrogance. Everybody see that? Everybody see that? Nod your head, shake your head, whatever, okay? Now look at, you're in chapter 4, go down to verse 18. Now some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon if the Lord wills. Did you notice what Paul wrote there? If the Lord wills. And I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. In other words, folks, what is missing in arrogant or prideful people's lives? Grace. It's all what to them? What is Christianity to them? It's all talk. It's not power, life, grace inside. They can talk a good talk. But inwardly, Paul says, when I come there, I'm not looking for your cunning, innovative, wise descriptions of things. I want to know where the power is inside of you. And that power of the Holy Spirit. Look in chapter 5 and verse 2. Here we have immorality in that church. Paul says, verse 2, you have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. Folks, when a church will not discipline itself, it is because that church is what? Proud. It is proud. Look in chapter 8 and verse 1. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love what? Edifies. In other words, folks, if all you're getting in church is what we call head knowledge, guess what that's going to make you? Prideful. But if that head knowledge reaches the heart and you begin practicing those things by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, in other words, if you exercise your knowledge through sacrificial love, that's spirituality. It's not just the gathering of information that makes us a mature believer. It's the grace inside of us. And then lastly, I just look at six passages. Look at chapter 13. We'll talk about this in a future series concerning the love chapter. But look at verse 4. He talks about that sacrificial love. And he says, love is patient. Love is kind, is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. So folks, if a believer is prideful, are they loving? Yes or no? No. Boasting in ourselves and boasting in our abilities and boasting about what we think about the future and boasting about our education and boasting about my position in life and how you ought to listen to me and all this type of thing. There's aspects of that that is prideful. It is unloving. Now, would everybody agree with me that this church was characterized by pride? Do I have a consensus with that? Okay, so you got a whole book, actually two books, about a church that had all the gifts, that had all the spiritual gifts. But they were in danger of being destroyed by God because they were engaging in pride. And God has determined to destroy pride. All right. So, pride is the basis. All right. What kind of problems does this church have? Can you remember some?
Immorality,
fornication. What else?
Giving problems.
They had giving problems. They wouldn't give, right? When you become profitable, you only think of yourself, so what do you do with your money?
Keep it.
Help me out here. You're only concerned about who? Yourself. Folks, this church, let me give you 15 things, I'll be done. This church had a form of Christianity with no power. It was all words to them. This church had various manifestations of fornication. Even its men were going to the temple harlots. This church was judging ministers based on their eloquence. What was this church's view of their spirituality? They thought they were the spiritual ones, even over all the other churches. They were full of divisions. They had a prosperity view of Christianity versus a cross view of Christianity. They had a very low view of purity. They were taking brethren to court. They had various strange views about marriage. They were using the Bible to argue that they get to do things. They were arguing for their liberties. They despised weak people, contrite people, sorrowful people, poor people, uneducated people. They exalted class distinctions. How do I know that? Well, at the Lord's table, the rich, what?
They ate,
and the poor were hungry. And they used spiritual things for themselves. For instance, when they talked about the gift of tongues, they said the gift of tongues or languages was to edify themselves. Paul says, no, it's to edify the church. They only live for the present. Now, folks, what I described to you sounds like the American church today. You agree with that? All right, what's the problem? Pride. What did God tell us? What did He say in Psalm 75? Don't boast. Don't lift up your horn on high. Don't say, we're the number one church. We've had the most baptisms. We see more people saved. My ministry's the best. Don't do that. Paul would say, what do you have that you didn't receive? Nothing. And folks, if we do have intellect and we do have understanding and we do have education and if we do have riches and if we do have wisdom, where did it come from? God. So how can you boast about how great you are when you should be boasting about how great Christ is? And folks, I just want us to really take these things to heart. As a pastor and as a believer, I've had to fight against this sin. I've had God do things, hard things in my life, and I didn't understand why until much later, and it was because of the direction where my heart was going. It wasn't going into more humility. It was going, lifting itself up. And folks, that's just the fact of the matter. And you know our Lord, do you not? He humbled himself. Do you hear that? And became obedient, even unto death, the death of a... All right, he humbled himself. What did God do?
He exalted him.
In Isaiah, he says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Next verse, but you will be cast down. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.